Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. One of the all-time great Dolphins receivers is O.J. McDuffie, who, of course, was drafted by Don Shula. O.J., good to talk to you. How are you, my man?
I'm hanging in there, man. How about yourself, brother?
I'm doing okay. First off, first and foremost, you and your family okay holding up right now with everything going on? You doing okay?
Yeah. We're doing okay, man. You know, we're doing our part, you know what I mean, staying home and making sure everything that we do around here is the way it's supposed to be done. You know, tough times for a lot of people, man. So we're just making sure we do our part as much as we can and survive the situation.
Yep. Good to hear. So let's talk a little bit about your former coach there. Now, Coach Shula drafted you. Do you remember what it was like the first time that you met Coach Shula, and what were your thoughts? Like, were you intimidated going in? What did you know about Coach Shula?
Yeah, well, you know, fortunate for me, I was coming from Joe Paterno, and those guys are pretty much cut from the same cloth. So I was a little – my transition from, you know, my college coach to my pro coach was a lot easier than most people. I knew he was demanding. I knew he was tough. I knew he held everybody accountable. I knew he treated his players like men. And so it was still tough, man. He's still a legend at that point. So everything about him walking into our first, they were in OTA mini camps back then, was very intimidating. It was very intimidating. That whole locker room was intimidating, but definitely when you got a legendary guy like Coach Shula as your head man, it was definitely intimidating.
And how about, like you mentioned, the practices and all that, mini camps? I mean, just everything's so different today, of course, because of the, you know, CBA agreements and all that. Like, I always remember hearing about Coach Shula, how tough he ran his players in those practices.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was survival of the fittest. You know, if you didn't come in to camp or mini camps in shape, you were in trouble. He was going to continue to run you until you got your ass in shape, you know, and that was part of our job at that point. You know, I mean, if you're serious about your craft, you should come in and shape and not try to work your way into shape. And, you know, and that's how he treated you. If you weren't ready to go, he'd have the guys that were ready to go in their beginning until guys got their butts in shape, man. So, I mean, the running, the 2 days and pass for a couple weeks, you know, really a 3-a-day with a walkthrough at night. That was serious stuff that we did, man. And, you know, he was more demanding of us as individuals to make sure that, you know, we took our craft and what we were doing serious, you know, because we know how he knew how it affects the team. So it was all about team to him. And you do your job, and the team's going to do well.
Are these stories about him making you guys run the 6-minute mile over and over again true? Because we had Steve Shapiro on with us earlier in the show, and he said that Don Shula was legendary for that, and some texters on our text line were questioning whether he could really expect players to run a 6-minute mile.
Yeah, you know what? We really didn't have to do there were different running things. The one that really, really hurt people is our 12-minute run. You know, the 12-minute run put people on the ground, had people throwing up, had people back spasm, hamstrings, everything was everything was on the line for these guys for that run, and they dreaded it. I mean, I know people, you can see people in the locker room for the 12-minute run, you know, sweating, you know what I mean, nervous, the stomach, they had to go to the bathroom, and it was a rough deal for them because that was one of his main test of conditioning. Not that you ever need 12 minutes in a football game, but he's wanting to see if you, you know, did all the work in the off season and got ready for it. So guys, in that 12-minute run, I've talked to a lot of guys on our podcast, from guys that played, you know, obviously with the perfect season team, to guys that played in his last years in the 90s, early 90s, and everybody dreaded 12-minute run. It was legendary, and it was scary.
Well, what happened on that? I mean, is it just running straight for 12 minutes? Like, what happened on that run?
Yeah, so the 12-minute run is, you know, we were at St. Thomas then, and even when we moved to Davie, you know, you got to go around the field a certain number of laps and get to a certain point to pass this test, you know. And so each position, depending on how big or little you were, had different marks they had to achieve. And so the big guys really had a hard time. You can imagine the big guys having a hard time, you know, running for 12 minutes in the Miami Heat. You know, I mean, it was rough out there. But there were a lot of little guys, wide receivers and running backs, that struggled more than some of the big guys did. Because it's just not a football type of conditioning, you know. So, I mean, you see guys, honestly, the cramps were the biggest thing you'd ever see. The way guys would cramp up, you know, or throw up, or, you know, pass out. I mean, it was crazy thing to see. Fortunately for me, we did like an 18-minute run at Penn State. Not the same weather, but the 18 minutes gave me a little advantage running a 12-minute run when I got here. So I was okay with it. But there were a lot of guys that, it did them in. And if you didn't pass the first day, you come back the next morning or the next morning or the next morning until you passed it.
Now, how about if a young O.J. McDuffie had a question for Coach Shula, were you able to go knock on his office door during the day and talk to him like that?
Hell no. I was scared, man. I was too scared to do that, man. You know, if I had a question, I'd go to some of the veteran guys, you know, especially if there's anything about the offense. I'd just wait for somebody else to ask and get their butts chewed, you know what I mean? And then I'd get my answer that way. So I was no way I was going up to coach's office ever.
Can you tell us, what was the relationship like between Coach Shula and Marino?
I thought they had a great relationship. You know, I think, you know, he's had some legendary players before he got Danny. You know, we talk about, you know, Zonk and Kick and, you know, all the linemen. You know, we talk about Larry Little and all those guys. You talk about Grease. He had some great guys, but he never had a guy that was kind of like a rock star like Danny was, man. But Shula was the first legend down here in South Florida, you know, so he knew how legendary status was. But I thought they vibed very well, you know, especially being an offensive-minded coach, always in the offensive meetings, always, you know, with the quarterbacks or quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. You know, he and Danny had a great relationship. And, you know, there were some times in that locker room where things would go down and Shula always had Danny's back. You know what I mean? So, you know, Danny boy did no wrong, you know, which he didn't most of the time. And so it was great to see that relationship, but you always wanted to stay close to Danny because that way, you know, you always have Shula on your side as well.
Now, on the practice field, OJ, were players allowed to go back at Coach Shula? Like, if Coach Shula's chewing some guy out, were you allowed to, like, you know, disagree and tell him what you were thinking?
You crazy? You crazy? Hey, you just hope it's one, you know, you hope you can console one of your teammates after the butt chewing, you know what I mean? You just have to, you don't go to coach and say anything, man, because coach will have everybody be in trouble in that meeting, the next meeting, if we ever said anything back to coach, you know? And it was just a respect factor, man. And coach didn't get on you just for nothing, man. He expected a lot out of you, and if you didn't produce it, he's going to let you know. And so it was more of him just, you know, honestly, I was talking about it earlier today, man. Coach just wanted us to be winners on and off the field. So if he's working you there, you know, it'll prepare you for things in life. And I think a lot of people appreciated Coach so much more after they played for him because of what he was trying to do, you know, to them as players to prepare them for the rest of their lives.
Well, and you could speak to this as well, you know, since you played for him for a few years, and certainly I know you've had a ton of interaction with him after 95 when he retired. But I could tell you from my standpoint, you know, I obviously didn't know him at all when he was coaching. I was way too young, but I had plenty of interaction with him afterward, and he was just the nicest man. He was so kind, and that was probably interesting for someone like yourself who knew him as very tough, mean when he had to be, but then after he was your coach, he was super sweet, right?
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. And I think there was an evolution there because I know the guys that, you know, I talked to that played earlier said how really, really tough he was, Then, of course, you get into the 80s, and he was still, you know, he was tough, but kind of loosened up a little bit. Then I caught him at the end of his career, obviously, and he wasn't as tough, I think, as some of those other guys experienced. So I think that all just an evolution of how Sula became, you know, the man that he was, the coach that he was, the demanding coach that he was. And when he was done coaching, he finally got a chance to exhale and relax, man. And, you know, I mean, that's when he was the funniest. you hear him tell the stories, and he still cracked on people. You know, we just saw him a few months ago for his birthday, and he was still telling jokes and telling stories, yeah. and still had everything about him with wise, man. And it was something he could recall from a few decades. It was just unbelievable. I think that we found him. I caught him at the right time of his coaching career, and definitely, you know, his post-coaching career was just an amazing time, just, you know, being able to laugh and reminisce about certain things and, you know, think about his ass. For a guy like that to take me, you know, in the first round, a wide receiver from Penn State in the first round, I mean, that made me feel real special because, you know, first of all, we had Duper and Clayton right before I got here. We just picked up Urban Fryer and Mark Ingram when I got here, and still, you know, he felt it especially that I was a special enough player to draft me in the first round. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, but you had multiple kickoff returns for touchdowns that rookie year. I mean, you told him right away you made the right choice.
Yeah, well, yeah. I had to prove myself, man. I had to prove myself. I was definitely brought on originally as a return guy and then able to work my way into the offense eventually towards the end of the year and, of course, the following years. But, yeah, man, that was the only way I could get in, you know, and a lot of guys don't get that anymore, man. If you're not a starter, you better be something special on special teams. And I was able to do that. I had a lot of help, but I was able to do that.
Yeah, you were an excellent kick returner. OJ, tell everyone how they could hear you on your podcast with you and Seth. Go ahead.
Yeah, we are on the Red Fish Tank, Dolphin Tales from the Deep, and we're actually on the Dolphins Podcast Network. So Seth and I, we've had some really great stories. We've got a few that we're doing right now. We've done some stories that we haven't put out there yet with guys like Richmond Webb and Ray Lucas, and you know we got a Don Shula special coming out in a few days. But it's been great, man. We've got about 50 or 60 stories on the pod right now for guys who want to go back and listen to guys like Lewis Oliver, guys you never even thought about, Tony Egwes in the equipment rooms, Stu Weinstein, you know, who's our head of security. Some of the stories are just legendary. Bobby Monica, who was one of our equipment guys, and a lot of different players like, you know, Troy Stratford and guys like, there's so many really funny stories that aren't X and O's, but just some stuff that happened along their career that will just crack you up.
I saw Lewis Oliver out recently. He'll still put you on the ground, man.
Lewis looks amazing. I was watching, you know, it is with no sports. I was watching the 1989 draft and how he fell in the draft and how he came in with a chip on his shoulder. You know, I think it was the same year Atwater came out as a safety. So it was, Lewis is a bad man still to this day.
Yep. OJ, great catching up with you. Thanks a lot for joining us on such short notice.
Anytime, Zaz and Amber. Thanks. Take care, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.